You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to AfterBuzz and another after show of CW's Arrow Season 1, Episode 20, Home Invasion. Bing is for doing, and I am doing Arrow. I'm Kaori Take, and I'm with...
Hi, I'm Ali Kona Bradford, and really, I think that this show should have been called, like, Holy Cow. Oh,
absolutely.
My God, there's a lot going on right now.
So much going on, I don't even know what topic to begin with. So I guess we should just take it from the top. And we first see Oliver training.
Yeah, Diggle kicking. Okay, Diggle is getting big, guys. Here
he's
he is.
Big.
I mean, he's always been kind of buff, but you really, I don't think I've ever seen him completely shirtless.
I don't think
shirtless.
I have either. I think I made that comment while we were watching. Wow, Diggle's jacked.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, and if you guys can see back here, we have a little bit of a timing-wise. It just changed, but we were seeing a little bit of boxing action going on. But yeah, it's he had a little moment to shine. We're focusing on Diggle and his obsession with obtaining justice for his brother.
Which I think is great. Do you really think that it's considered justice or revenge?
Probably revenge.
Right.
Revenge. Justice would have been just getting and hauling his butt to jail, but he wants to see him, quote unquote, in a bag.
Right. I mean, Diggle really wants Deadshot dead, and he recruits, quote unquote, Lila to get him as to get Deadshot as bait. And
right,
Lila doesn't want Deadshot.
Well,
dead.
First of all, she's smart and figured it out. At first, she's thinking, why does this bodyguard want to know? And of course, because of her position, it's in her nature,
yeah,
to explore and investigate. Duh. So she does, and she rips him a new one.
I think she gave him a little extra TLC in investigating because she got shot down.
Well, absolutely. Exactly, because of course the first time they met, the other episode, she thought they were reunited for other terms, and when he said he wanted info, she was just like, oh. Okay.
She totally was.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So she still gave it to him, but then when she found out she was being used, I mean, that's even more, she's ticked.
Yeah, for sure. I guess women all have that kind of grittiness in them from time to time.
Of course.
But I thought that it was really cool to see Oliver side with Diggle, and I felt at the beginning of the episode especially that Oliver was ready to go and help Diggle out and help him with his revenge, and it felt so good to see him side with him.
Yes.
And back him up.
Well, I mean, you feel like he finally learned his lesson. He already betrayed him once in another episode. We were ticked off at him because he wasn't thinking right with his head, you know. Let his emotions cloud his vision, and he did it again. I saw it coming. Honestly, I saw it coming.
You did.
Oh, absolutely. But at the same time, I was still equally as disappointed.
Well, you're smarter than me because I did not see it coming. I thought, okay, the past episodes have really been building up each other's trust. Oliver will not let him down, but he did.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Oliver has, he doesn't know how to separate his personal feelings towards certain things with his professional life, if you will, for lack of better words.
Right.
So the best decision is to go with your homie. Bros over. Mm-hmm. But obviously, he's still, the thought of Laurel and protecting Laurel is clouding his judgment.
She is a completely dangerous person for him to have feelings for. It's going to cause a lot of issues for him in the future, as we can already sense big time in this episode. So I was really upset because of everything that happened, that I really thought that he was going to back up Diggle. And it was even to the point where Diggle was like, okay, we're going to get him. And Oliver's like, do you want to just get him or do you want him dead?
Right. And, well, yeah. Because he went, well, for a moment, Diggle was going to back off and do the right thing because he got read his rights, basically, by Lila. He's like, okay, well, so he's going to get captured. Uh-huh. And Oliver's like, nah, man. Like, I know. You want him gone. Let's do it. Come on, homie. Like, let's
and
do
I
it.
And I loved that solidarity that we had for that one moment in time of this episode. So Diggle goes, and he goes into that hall
building. It was, I don't know what it was, but it was a total setup. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the police force sitting there trying to... And I mean, come on, really? Just like Diggle said, you really think a man named Deadshot is just going to go down easily?
Well, it's funny, because Deadshot did say that Diggle gave it away himself, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I thought that... You know, oh gosh, please, Oliver, please come. And Diggle was looking for him.
I knew it. The second they show Diggle by himself in the building, and there's the setup with all of the people there, and he's sitting there, and you see his eyeballs kind of go back and forth, like he's thinking a lot, and I'm already going, he's by himself. He's alone again.
And that really sucked, because Oliver was out busy trying to get Rasmus in the meantime. Yeah. So you don't see any green, but you see a little red light, and you know Deadshot.
It's Deadshot.
And so he shoots Lila, and then he shoots a lot of other officers.
Yeah, there's like four that actually end up losing their life. Right. I don't know if she actually died. I don't know if she's one of the four, because the way
she
left her.
She wounded.
Yes.
She seemed like she was breathing. I thought she was dead initially, but she seemed to have survived. But Diggle goes after Deadshot, or I don't even know what happens, but this brawl ensues in the staircase.
Dude, okay, first of all, crazy sick twisted situation, okay, because they've got this head-to-head combat. I'm thinking, Diggle, you're a lot bigger than this guy. You've got muscles, and you have a military background, and you still got spanked.
I thought that too. And Deadshot, I know he's got great aim, obviously, Deadshot, but he is not really a tough looking guy.
No.
And Diggle's been training with his boxing moves, and yet he couldn't
take him down.
He couldn't take him down.
And I get it. You have a gun, you have a slight. Just a little bit of an advantage, but just with all the moves, you think he would have just like and got it out of him. But the thing that really got me about this scene and about Deadshot, I'm like, wait, hold on, excuse me. He's got him at gunpoint, and he's like, I'd kill you, but nobody's paying me. What?
That was weird.
Yeah, but then when he turns around with his tattoo, and he's like, I got a space for you right here, right next to your brother.
His name was already written.
Yes!
That's the crazy thing.
You, stalker, weird, crazy, but you had your opportunity. I'm a little confused as to why you didn't take it, and maybe I missed something.
No, I was completely puzzled by that, too. I thought he was going to get Diggle, and I thought, because I am an optimistic person, maybe this is the moment that Oliver's going to come by. But of course, no, that's not the case.
Right.
So instead, Deadshot saves him instead of Oliver saving him and runs off, which I thought was really weird.
Very odd.
Yeah, I thought Diggle would have had more of a battle wound or something.
I mean, he looked like he got a pretty good one across his... I mean, Felicity was...
Yeah, and Felicity, you can tell Felicity was pretty angry at Oliver.
Oh, yeah. Do you have anything to say? You're not going to want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, for sure. I mean, these three have built a team, and Oliver pretty much backstabbed.
He's not backstabbing. He's just going and fighting his own battles and not backing up.
Yeah, the backup.
They're there for him when he needs them. It may not be in the same exact exchange physically.
But it should be.
But I'm saying, like... His skill, obviously, they're not going to return the exchange in the same amount of skill, but they're contributing on their own in ways that he would not be able to.
Well,
in other words, he can't do the things that Felicity does, so she's contributing in her manner. What is he doing back for her? He is supposed to be providing that vigilante type.
That's true.
Protection, if you will, and he's not keeping up his end of the bargain.
No, that's absolutely true, and... Obviously, he's really hurt Diggle's feelings, so Felicity feels really hurt, and Diggle's upset, and Oliver...
Do you think Diggle's right for walking out?
Are you talking about in the middle or the end of this episode?
At the very end. I'm just kind of staying in the Diggle topic at the moment.
Let's do it.
But do you think he's right? I do. Oliver needs
totally
to feel
understand.
The pain.
I totally understand, because I think Oliver's love for Laurel and for him to choose his brotherhood, quote-unquote, I mean, not choose his brotherhood and go for Laurel, even though it's a fleeting romance. It's not a good thing, and it's going to cause a lot of trouble, and he's going to lose people along the way that should be important, and he should appreciate them, and he's not showing appreciation by doing that.
Right. I see, and here's the thing. I don't think, at the same time, too, I don't think it should be a choice of brotherhood versus love interest. I think it should be... looking at it neutral at both situations, mm-hmm. which one is more dangerous? Which one is going to cost more lives and make it a priority?
Well, that's the problem is, it's Laurel's not even his love. It's his love interest at this point. So
right.
it's like he's fetching something at this moment that should not be a priority.
Right.
She's already safe, quote unquote, with these bodyguards in his house. And Diggle was not safe.
Right.
And
he had
still,
no backup. He was all by himself.
Yeah. And Diggle knew. Diggle said, this is not about Taylor. This is about Laurel.
Right.
And she is going to cause you some trouble.
Right.
So
I love the look on your face right now.
I just sorry. You know, this girl
You're
is a little overrated. And that's all I'm going to say. But she did do some cool moves. Well, she with the gun.
Yeah, she kicked butt. Except she ran out of bullets after two
shots. Wait, she ran out of bullets after, like, one shot.
What? You know, let's talk about Laurel. Let's talk about,
yeah.
I mean, let's start from the beginning. Her being involved with the case with the two parents that are obviously trying to seek justice.
Yes, and they are Eric and Nancy Moore.
Yeah, very sad situation.
Yes.
The whole time I was watching the scene, honestly, just gut-wrenching. This poor little boy. First of all, after you see your parents get murdered, and jumping ahead a little bit, he witnesses a lot mm-hmm. of people getting murdered, and they're after him. He is going to be a basket case when he gets older.
Yeah, he really is. I felt really bad for the kid. It was a very sympathetic moment. A lot to take. And we have this crazy guy, and I'm going to call him Guy because I did not catch his name.
I call him Sick Twisted Assassin.
That's correct.
A lot of bad words were involved.
Sick, twisted. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an acronym.
Son of a biscuit. That's exactly what he was.
Yeah. I mean, he had no mercy. He just shot the father, then saw the mother, shot the mother. He was about to shoot the kid. The kid was quick enough to run out. And this guy,
he's on another planet. Like, seriously, on another planet. Dead on the inside emotionally, just here to finish business, and that's exactly what it is.
You know, I actually thought he was going to survive this episode and we would see him in another one because he was so malicious.
Right.
That I thought, this
but
guy
really,
might be
all
a bad character.
But really, all he did is, jumped out the window, right? To chase after Oliver and missed and fell out the window or
well,
something?
Well, I mean, the sassy guy, right? Well, let's call him sassy, I guess.
Sassy. That almost sounds like a compliment,
but,
though.
You know, he went out and tried to shoot Laurel and Tommy with his lieutenant badge, which I thought was weird because, first of all, he has this badge who thinks it's a lieutenant, but then the numbers are wrong. It doesn't work for Laurel, yet he can go question.
He knew it.
Somebody without showing a badge, even if the numbers are wrong.
Right.
I thought that was weird that he can get into that question area
right.
with Ed Rasmus, who he kills.
Right.
Yeah. What did you think of him killing Ed Rasmus, by the way, that tactic? I thought that was so...
Part of me wanted to be like, can I Google this? Is this really even possible?
I know. That's what I was thinking, too.
What?
He just poked him.
Here, give me your hand a second. Okay, just so you know, in about 15 seconds, you're about to die. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
I'm like, shoot, what if a tree falls on me and it hits me right there and then I get an air bubble and die in 15 seconds?
Yeah, I don't know. It just, but you know what, though? It totally went with the character.
It did.
Really, whoever wrote it, I mean, very, in my opinion, very well written as far as making him that true villain, if
yeah,
you will.
Yeah, he was a true villain.
Yes. But just heartless, shooting people right and left. And I'm watching the episode wondering how many other people are going to have to die.
Yeah, a lot of people died, including the bodyguards and, well, obviously everyone else in his path.
Right.
And then Oliver kills him.
Awesome fight scene, by
awesome.
The way, P.S.
Completely agree. I liked it.
I liked the part where he asked Oliver, so what happened to you on that island? You're about to find out. And his voice got like two octaves deeper. Hello, Steven. Hi.
I actually like it when I see Steven fighting it not in Arrow costume and just as Oliver.
Yeah.
I think it adds more personality somehow.
You know what? And talking about Steven, oh gosh, here I go again. We're going
I know,
back and
we're
forth,
just
calling
Oliver.
Him like he's our homie or something. But going back to Oliver and getting into a little bit of what's developing between him and Laurel, because obviously they've had chemistry since the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
but we're seeing it start to peak out a little bit more, and it's becoming just more and more blatant to Tommy, which must be horrifying
but that,
to watch.
I think, honestly, it is the most interesting part of the show because Watching Tommy now has completely changed my perspective on him. In the beginning of this season, he was not my favorite character.
Yeah.
But this episode, every single facial expression, every move, you feel for him, you root for him, and you just want him to grow into what he's going to become, and that's probably evil.
Right. Well, you know, here's what I liked about this particular episode. I liked Laurel. I feel like as the episodes have gone on, which kind of makes this more I feel like she's slowly finally starting to more fall in love with him because she's seeing new sides of him.
Yeah.
Be it last episode or this episode when he's down on his knees and he's talking to the child, Taylor, after his parents got killed, and they're relating over the fact that his mother got killed when he was younger too. And he has that one moment where he's teary-eyed and telling the little boy, you know, if I ever miss my mom, all I have to do is close my eyes. And you see the boy go, I can see them. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, and of course, Laurel's doing the same thing. Like, Tommy, you never cease to amaze me, in a sense. I know that's not what she said specifically, but that's
pretty close
what she's thinking about.
Do you think that Laurel and Tommy have developed is it believable nowadays, is what I'm saying?
To me, it's believable that they're fond of each other. It's believable that he is in love with her, which is why he's doing the things that he's doing. Her being in love with him, yes, on the surface, I think she cares about him a lot. She loves him. Whether or not she's in love, I think subconsciously she doesn't realize how much she cares about Oliver, which is why some of her behavior, like her mannerisms, she doesn't realize that she's letting on that she does have feelings for him.
How does she not know she has all these strong feelings for Oliver?
She's probably in denial.
It's
not that she doesn't know. It's that she's in denial in the sense to where I have this great situation with a man I really care about. He's really in love with me. And then I have this man who cheated on me with my sister, broke my heart. All these things happen. There's a lot of pain involved with even just affiliating myself with you. So to even go there and allow myself to admit that I still have feelings for you, no. Especially when, at the same time, if you really look at it in retrospect,
right,
you kind of look like a dummy in the sense of, so I'm still in love with the guy that cheated on me with my sister who took her out to a boat ride and she got killed.
You know,
okay.
She did kind of initiate the coffee date, though. The last episode before the hiatus. She's the one that said, can we go for coffee? And remember, Oliver's like,
okay.
Why? Or okay.
Oh, you're right.
Right? Uh-huh. I think it was them. It might have been reversed. I think it was her. So I think ever since that moment, Oliver suddenly felt, okay, maybe I can spend some time with her and see where this goes. And this is going to cause a lot of trouble for Tommy.
Of course. But and putting yourself into Tommy's shoes, ouch. That's all I kept in my notes. I think I must have wrote, ouchie, like 80 times, because all these things that he's seeing between, here comes Oliver every single time saving the day. When crazy, sick, twisted mofo that we were talking about comes in the house, into her house, breaking and shooting everything, the only thing Tommy can offer is to lay on the ground, you know, holding this poor little boy in protection. He can't do anything.
Do you know how much power it probably takes Tommy to have said, yeah, let's go to Oliver Queen's place?
Oh, of course. He even said, do you know how hard it is? He said it physically.
He's basically saying, deep down, I know that Laurel will need him more than she needs me.
But you know what? That is why I respect him a whole lot more now.
Yes, because I love him.
It takes a big man to be able to admit that. And it takes a big man to be able to make the move that he made at the very end of the episode, which I really didn't want to jump ahead into now, but we're kind of there.
Why not? We're just...
For him to, on purpose, push Laurel away and break up with her, not because he wants to, because if he was selfish enough, he would stay there, but he knows at the end of the day...
He has a selfless love for her. He really likes her.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's also sparing himself, because eventually he knows that Oliver's secret is going to come out to her somehow, some way, and when that moment happens, he's losing Laurel forever.
Do you think that... He already knows that he's becoming a toxic person, infuriated with his jealousy, that's why he left her?
No, I don't think he realizes that about himself. I think he sees the jealousy and he feels it every single moment that he sees the way they look at each other, the way they hugged each other. That is so painful for him. And he even, in his own way, tells Oliver that at the very end. Like, I already know it's so hard for me to watch all of this that I can't be around when she chooses you. So I just realized tonight I can't be with her anymore.
He's lost not just Laurel, but he's also lost his best friend. He doesn't trust Oliver anymore. He doesn't have faith in their friendship.
No, he feels betrayed and lied to.
Right. But then Oliver's protecting him. And I feel like when it comes to Oliver, Tommy is taking it a little too far.
How so?
Because I don't think Oliver is trying to be malicious towards Tommy. He will protect him. Oliver loves him like a brother. But Tommy, like the moment you saw their first interaction on the show in the officer's place, he's like, what are you doing here? You saw that mad dog face. Yeah. Like, you have no business being around Laurel. And then, oh, I was going to have coffee with her. Oh, and that was, it just tumbles and tumbles. Yeah. And I just feel
I think at that point in the show, he's still standing his ground and basically stay away from her. But the reason he wants, it's not because you're the vigilante and I don't trust you. It's because you're the vigilante and I know she'll be attracted to you. You need to stay away from her. It was more the ego side of him, I think, that was doing that.
I think you're pretty correct about that. I don't know. I feel like Oliver and Tommy are just going to have, his complete falling out. And it's just such a shame because they could be good friends. And I can imagine Tommy being homies with Felicity and the crew.
But how are you good friends with somebody who is going to be with your ex-girlfriend that you're in love with? How are you a big, happy, like, let's go fight crime together while I watch you be in love?
Let's just join forces because we both love the same woman.
No. Sorry.
I mean, it happens in a lot of different... It's a little crazy. It's a little intense.
You know, I could see him being like, I'm anti-crime. I will... You know, go save the world. I'll be here cheering you on from a distance. I don't need to see you be in love with her any more than I've had
to. I know my thoughts aren't realistic, but that's just me being the optimist of them being friends.
Of course.
Obviously, though, Tommy is meant for another path on this show.
Right. Well, you know, at the same time, too, though, how much can he really blame Oliver? Your girlfriend obviously already has feelings for him because they have a past together. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do about that. And it's not like Oliver is actively pursuing Laurel.
He kind of is, though.
But Tommy's not around to see that, to really know that.
But he could probably sense it. He's probably has so much anxiety about that idea that he just can't function. And that's why he has to leave Laurel at the end. He needs to get rid of this relationship because at this point, it's so toxic for him to even think about Laurel.
Yeah.
That he just can't go on anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. But before we move on, let's talk about iTunes. Yes. So thank you guys for always following us. Please go to iTunes and YouTube. iTunes, go ahead and rate us 5 stars and give a comment. We always follow back. That's how we do. Tell a friend, one friend
a day. Tweet us also.
Yes, tweet us as well. We have conversations. And the new thing that just started this week is now you can watch us streaming live on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android. Just go to AfterBuzzTV.com. And whether you're in the metro, maybe not if you're in LA, I don't know, you can stream us live.
That's pretty awesome and exciting,
I think
actually.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll watch you tomorrow on your Beauty and the Beast show.
You guys like Beauty
show.
And Beast? Tune in.
So let's talk about Edward
Rasmus.
I know we kind of talked about it a little with a sassy guy.
Yeah, sassy, assassin, crazy, twisted guy. You know, we don't really get to know much of him. The only thing we know about him is he's basically a twisted businessman. People invest their money in him and he steals it. He walks away. And he doesn't even handle his own battles. He hires somebody else to do it.
Yeah, he hires hitmen.
And that's dumb.
But he hired a hitman that killed him.
Exactly why I was going to say that's dumb. Not that it's always dumb in all situations, but in this particular situation, when you hire somebody that twisted, the odds of them not coming back for you, you know?
Well, it's funny because when at the beginning of this episode, you think this guy is a very, very dangerous guy.
Yeah.
But he so quickly succumbs to Oliver's demands. And you're like, man, this guy did not go down with a fight at all. He's like, forget it. I'm going to be in jail. Just stop the hit.
But I mean, obviously, he's not a fighter if you have to hire somebody else. Because all of our other villains, for the most part in this show, have been the one fighting their battles. They've been the one going head to head.
Well, Merlin, not yet.
Not yet.
A little bit.
Not yet. But he can fight. No, because he was a dark archer.
Well, he went straight for our boy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is a... and I could be wrong because I have poor memory sometimes, but I feel like this is the first really passive.
Yeah.
He's a secondhand villain. Really, the true villain is the crazy assassin.
That's why I thought he might survive for another future episode. This
we don't know.
Well, he's dead.
Didn't he fly out a window, though? We just talked about this.
Oh, wait, I'm talking about Sassy Guy.
Yeah, didn't he come out? He was writing notes at the time.
He was picked. Oliver.
Yeah. Hello. Don't mind me. He was fire poked.
He was fire poked. So he's gone. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
But I was shocked that Sassy Guy managed to kill him so easily, as we talked about before. And yeah, you're right. He was extremely passive. And I think he was kind of more of a leeway for the main story
on. Speaking of fire poked and picked, that because I thought it was kind of funny too, but I love that Detective Lance had made mention of it as well too, and he had said,
oh, I know,
death by poker, that is definitely a first. And I also really like the fact that at that scene too, Oliver obviously doesn't want to let on that he's capable of fighting somebody like that, so he pawns it off. That's a true hero, in a sense. You are not taking credit for the justice that you are serving.
But
you
can't.
You were true. But at the same, I mean, he could have sat there and said something like, well, just by chance, I was by the poker and he was over me and I had a lucky shot. But he gave it to somebody else who passed away and just said, hey, you know, this guy was a real hero. And then, going back to Tommy, for him to swallow his pride, and he's still protecting Oliver.
He's still protecting Oliver.
There was several times in this episode where he spoke up against Detective Lance for Oliver's sake.
Do you think it's really purely for Oliver's sake?
Not necessarily. He's still protecting him for whatever reason, because he has the power to turn him in.
See, that's the thing that puzzles me. I like that he's protecting him, but that puzzles me that he keeps protecting him. Like last episode where he removed all the underground stuff hid that stuff for him. And then this episode protecting him from Officer Lance.
At the same time, maybe he also understands in this particular episode. I know there's something else relevant for the last one, but in this one, Oliver, nobody really understands him. They just see him as a vigilante that goes around killing people. And yes, he does obtain justice by doing so, but the way Detective Lance sees it as just people being killed, I think Tommy at least sees the bigger picture understands. As much as he's constantly saying, you're a murderer, you kill people, maybe somewhere deep down he kind of understands that Oliver's trying to do something good.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. I think that's why maybe ultimately Tommy doesn't want to rat him out, is because he knows that Oliver protects a lot of people, saves lives. Oliver saved his dad's life.
Right, exactly. And maybe that's it. Maybe he feels he owes it to him for that. He doesn't agree what he's doing, but you did save my dad's life, so.
I just wish, optimistic again, that he would have been, you are the vigilante, and now I know we can be closer. I can help you in the back line, sidelines, or whatever. But now he's just infuriated instead because it just means for him there's no chance with Laurel.
Right.
Do you agree that when Tommy mentioned to Oliver that there's no hope for Laurel if she found out that you were the vigilante? Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Because he's already observed, too, that she has a little bit of an obsession with him, and not in the unhealthy way, but she's intrigued by him. Mm-hmm. And they're both, in the same sense, in the same line of work. He might do it with physical force, and she does it more with her brain in court, but they're out for the same. They're passionate about the same thing. I did think it was interesting, though, that, and I think this is Oliver being in denial and also just trying to save face in front of Tommy, but saying, basically, you can have her. I will never, ever be able to be with her because of what I do, and this is my life. Baloney.
He said it so melodramatically.
But I think
he meant it.
I think he did mean it. I don't think that he doesn't mean it. I think that he meant it in the sense to where he was just trying to assure his best friend, I'm not trying to take your girl. I wouldn't do that to you. But it doesn't mean deep down that he doesn't have feelings, and it doesn't mean that when the opportunity came that he'd be strong enough to not take that opportunity and explore it.
I don't think he told Tommy, I wouldn't do that to you. All he said was, you have nothing to worry about because I can't do it.
That's true. He did avoid the question. When he did avoid whatever question it was that Tommy had said or how he said it, it's like he went around the topic and changed it into something else.
Yeah. So just letting you know, it's not going to happen. but it probably will. I don't know.
Speaking of all this romance and stuff, let's just talk a little bit about the romance that has blossomed with Thea and Roy Harper. Because
I like it.
I do. I like it a lot. It happened very quickly because it went from I hate you, I'm stealing stuff, to I'm going to make out with you in the hospital, to now they use the title boyfriend.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Which I
when
noticed.
She was like, hey, where's my boyfriend?
Yes. And then when their closing scene in particular, him talking about how important it is to find out who this vigilante is. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's that important to you, you're important to me, so let's go find him. So she's basically putting out there, like, I'm in love with you.
See, what I love is how much Roy is trying to... He protects the vigilante as much as he wants to look for him.
Yeah.
So when Officer Lance is trying to get stuff out of him, even when they show a dead body at the morgue, this is number 26, this is what the Green Arrow or whatnot does, so you better give me more information.
Right.
But he doesn't.
Right.
And he really wants to protect the vigilante, not knowing who he is, which I think totally is showing, it's like a premonition of Roy Harper being...
Well, he already says when Thea's asking him, why is this so important to you? Yeah, he saved your life, but why? And he said, it's just a feeling. Like, my life is connected to his somehow.
I love it.
That was excellent. That was excellent. But I want to go back to that morgue scene because...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Detective Lance, we've already talked about your weird, sick obsession with the hood. But this just took it way too far. Was that... really necessary to take two kids down to the morgue, show them a dead body? Not only are you showing them a dead body, but you take an arrow and you're sticking it
That's disgusting.
In this piece of meat.
How long has that body been there?
I don't know, but and not that I heard it, but in my mind I was creating the squish noise of like just poke him like an hors d'oeuvre.
This Officer Lance and his obsession to get the vigilante, I don't know.
Dude, seriously, get over yourself and just admit. You know that the vigilante is not really doing anything bad. He is helping you. Or maybe you just can't handle the fact that you're not closing down some of your crimes quick enough, and this dude is finishing up your unfinished business.
Well, he has helped him a couple times, but Officer Lance did say he killed two of my men.
It was probably on accident.
And the thing is, I don't think he's concerned about the dead guys. I think he's just obsessed with getting this guy. It's the one thing that this brilliant, quote-unquote, detective officer can't get.
But, dude, I'm sorry, me and my dudes tonight.
That's right, dude.
Dude.
So, dude, what's up?
I mean, no. Here's the thing. Can you imagine when and if Detective Lance finds out that the hood, who he hates so much, is Oliver, who he hates so much.
Do you think he's going to find out pretty
soon? Eventually, I don't think it'll happen in this season, but who knows in season two. I just feel like when that happens, it's going to be that much more of a, ooh, I hate you.
What did you think of Roy Harper stealing his radio?
What was the point of that, really?
I thought that was odd, too.
Was randomly written in there. I understand that you're trying to track him down, and maybe you thought by stealing the radio and listening to the reports, you'd find out, okay, they're heading to find the hood over here.
But why did he only hear that specific report? I thought that was weird. They were having a nice little French fry dinner, and he didn't hear anything up until that point. I wasn't buying that one.
Yeah. Well, what was the line that Thea said to him? Because something about, is that a radio in your pocket?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just happy to see you. Or something stupid.
I think he did say that. Oh, dear.
What? I like his character. I'm starting to... not that I never disliked his character, but I'm really starting to like his character a lot
I like
now.
Him. He's more intriguing ever since he almost died. He became very interesting.
He did that. Well, I mean, shoot, if you almost died and you were in that situation, I'm sure you'd have a few epiphanies.
Well, now he's dating Thea. It's so crazy because he's so close to him, too. He's dating Oliver's sister.
And they haven't physically met yet, right?
As far as
Oliver and Roy?
They have.
Oh, yes, that's right, in the club and all that good stuff. But she isn't introduced him as her boyfriend.
No, but it's pretty obvious because Moira's begged Oliver to save him whatnot.
Right. Moira, let's talk about Moira. She had a very, very small... That's okay. That led me to my next topic.
Perfect.
So, just a couple of things. She only made some small appearances. Mm-hmm. My favorite line in the, I think, the entire show was when she saw Taylor, and you got to see the mommy side, the soft side of Moira, and she bends down, and she's like, let me go show you.
I don't
what
trust her.
Well, with a little boy,
that
I mean,
ain't gonna change anything.
I'm just saying, she was gonna show him where all the good cookies were hiding. That would get me.
Well, she has to be nice to the kid. The kid
well,
just
I know,
lost
but I just thought that moment was very endearing. We don't see her play mommy. She is Moira Queen mother.
Well,
but she's not,
you got to think about it. Her kids are
grown.
18 and
I
grown.
Get it.
She's not going to ask Thea, hey, do you want a little cookie girl?
Well, no, I'm just saying it was nice to see her like that. It makes me believe her more as a mother. If that makes any sense. I don't know. I just liked seeing her like that. Mm-hmm. And then the other conversation I liked was when she had the conversation with Laurel and she had mentioned, I liked my son the most when he was around you.
Why is that necessary, honestly? It's just to feed the fuel to the fire.
That's exactly what it was. But at the same time, we like that because obviously we're team Oliver and Laurel, but
I'm not team Oliver and Laurel. I know it's their destiny, but I'm not.
Sorry. Excuse me.
But things might change. Just
I just feel like as a woman, that was a little bit because she's here with her boyfriend staying in your home. It's a little disrespectful to him to sit there and talk about how you really liked how her son was with you. Came in a new relationship, you should probably respect that.
And then Tommy just walks in.
Did he hear any of that?
I think he did. I think Oliver said something like, you're safe now. And then Tommy's like, okay, good, let's go.
Peace out, let's go.
Let's go.
Get out of here.
Where are you guys going? Laurel's place is trashed.
Right.
But he just wants to get out of there.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for Tommy. But there was another love that blossomed, and that was past love on the freaking island.
I know. Well, it's a love that has not happened yet because he put a stop to it.
So do you think it's going to happen eventually?
I don't know. Because initially, yes, I thought so. And it's something that I talked about in my news and gossip before as far as the fact that he comes back home with this tattoo, which is the same tattoo that Shadow had. And you don't get a tattoo. The same tattoo is the opposite sex unless you have some sort of inner deep connection or you guys belong to the same cult. So with that said, I feel like it's something that will take time because when he's on the island, he's obviously obsessing over Laurel. A little bit of missing and a little bit of guilt because of what just happened.
Yeah.
And if you ever get home, you're going to, you know, confess your love to her. But it's just funny because he takes that route of feeling like, I almost feel like I'm cheating on her so I can't kiss you.
Which was so weird. You might never even make it back home. And even when you were in Laurel's arms, you went to another.
That's why I'm like, now you have a conscience after sleeping with her sister?
I kind of didn't buy that. And I'm totally team Oliver, but come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I almost wonder, too, if Slade Wilson has a slight crush on Shadow because he already put Oliver down a lot, but now in her presence, it's like Mr. Negative.
Well, it was like just cock block extraordinaire over there.
Yeah. I did like the little moments where she was telling him about, you know, the senses and not thinking too much.
Oh,
and
well, we knew where that was going.
The hand on the heart. I was like, whoa.
When any woman tells a man to close your eyes and stop thinking about what you're thinking and just do.
It means kiss me now.
Kiss me now.
Code
my
for
hand,
all you gentlemen that are watching, just so you know.
My hand is on your chest. Yeah. Slade Wilson is somewhere behind those trees.
Right.
You can't aim and that's okay.
Right? If we get in a fight, I have to protect you, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Did you notice how much longer his hair is?
Yes, I did notice that. A little scraggy right
it's
there.
It's grown like 2 inches since the last time we saw you.
What's that Scooby-Doo character's name?
Like Shaggy?
That. Shaggy, yeah,
oh,
Shaggy.
Oh, gosh, so Steven and all those wigs.
Well, would you be okay with a Shadow Oliver?
I would be okay with it. Because, again, you're on an island. You don't know if you're ever getting off the island. I like I don't know, there's some sort of innocence between the two of them, and it's more so him, I think, because he's naive in this situation, not in the world in that sense, but she's got the upper hand and all this knowledge about fighting and how to survive on the island. He's almost like a lost little boy, and she's guiding him. I like that dynamic because I'm sure he's never been in a situation where a female has had the upper hand. Mr. Playboy back home.
You know, these island snippets, there was a lot more emphasis on their growing relationship, and there was barely anything on Slade Wilson except that he was kind of getting frustrated that Oliver wasn't learning anything, or he didn't trust Oliver to be the archer in their mission that they were going to do. And they go into their little cave, hidden cell, whatever, and Yao Fei comes in.
But you know what? When he came in and he was emotionless and his daughter came in, threw her arms around her father's neck and was like, "Dad!" The second I saw his face just like this, I'm all, "Oh, hell."
Yes.
And sure enough, there comes the troops.
I know.
Like, you are a jerk. Really? You're going to turn in your daughter? You're going to put her life in danger?
Well, we don't know what happened because they ended us on that cliffhanger where they're saying, "It's time for you to go home, Oliver." But I'm thinking...
No, he didn't say that it's time for you to go home. He said, "Your days on this island are about to end. A.K.A., I might just kill you."
Well...
That's how I took it.
Oh, that's how you took it. See, positive me was thinking your days on this island's about to end means Oliver, you're getting off this island.
Uh-uh.
I guess that's just me. Like,
no. Okay. First of all, home dude who's in charge. You guys have already tried to steal a motherboard from him. You've tried to do all these things. He's not going to just be like, "You know what? Bye. We'll just let you go home."
Yeah.
No, blood is about to shed.
But maybe that might be like a cryptic way of Yao Fei saying, "I'm going to save you," like maybe a twisted way. And that's just me being positive.
But
again,
wouldn't you be a little bit happier to see your daughter?
Well, yes, but I think he's putting a face because he might have done this in exchange to save his daughter. And then.
But here's the thing. In all of Yao Fei's experiences with this team of people, he's never had the upper hand in any of it. And it's almost like they'll screw him over real quick.
I think. I'm guessing that he did this to protect his daughter somehow. Like, there's maybe, like, a bargain somehow going on. Slade Wilson was surprised.
Yeah, but how are you protecting your daughter when you're guiding everybody to where she is? And maybe it is a trade,
but... Well, it's an exchange for Oliver and Slade.
But here's the thing. If you're guiding... Who's to say... These people are obviously not trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Who's to say if you don't lead them to the three, they're not gonna... kill her too. Why would they just be like, "Yeah, we'll let her go since you showed us where they are, but we're going to take the two dudes"? No,
well,
this
maybe
guy is
in
ruthless.
Maybe in Yao Fei's mind, that he had no choice, and this was like his only possible option, and he wanted to risk it because he loves his daughter so much.
But his choice could have been, "Let me not tell you where they are, and she's still alive.
That's
you
true.
You don't need to know where my daughter is. You do not need who? I don't have a daughter. What are you talking about?" That would be my response.
Well, it was good to see him. I was really surprised because I thought he kind of disappeared.
I would love to see him evolve into a good guy. I just don't know if I see that happening because he's burned one too many bridges.
He is a good guy. I think he's a good guy. He looks like a bad guy, but he keeps saving Oliver. And I think there's something good that's going to come off of this. There has to be.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, how is Oliver going to find time to get a tattoo and get off the island?
Right, so it's not his last days on the island.
It can't be. So do you have anything else to talk about this episode?
No, I mean, why don't we get to some predictions and then I can share some news and gossip.
Yes, because you have tons.
Yes.
So let's do news and gossip.
Oh, okay, sure. I guess I went a little bit backwards. All right, let me open up my notes really quick. As I'm doing so, though, I will say this, that there is an event going on May 9th, if you guys have not heard about it. It's called the... Puck Cancer, with other letters involved, event. And basically, obviously, it's a charity for cancer. But what I love about it is Stephen Amell is going. It's a huge cause for him. And I had a quote in here, something that he had posted on his Facebook that I thought was really, really cool. He says, if you purchase tickets for the event, we can hang out, have some drinks, swap stories, become buddies. I'm not going to be in the VIP area. I'm going to be at the event because it's a fantastic cause.
What a genuine guy.
This is why I love him even more.
I said genuine. Genuine, like the singer. Genuine guy.
Jump on. Hey. Okay. We know where her mind is. So, no, that makes me love this actor even more because not only is he connecting so much with his fan base on YouTube and really letting him into his life, but he's doing stuff like this, which just goes to show what a humble, cool, down-to-earth individual. My other news, random stuff. Let's see what else I have in here. Oh. So he's still been meeting with producers about 50 Shades of Grey. So that's still not a topic that's completely closed. It's just that he's also in competition for that role with a gentleman who is on Vampire Diaries.
Oh, yeah, he's the big one.
Don't watch the show, so if I pronounce the name of the actor incorrectly.
Summerhalder? Holder?
Ian, yes.
Ian.
Ian, there you go. How many times?
I-A-N is usually Ian, girlfriend.
Oh, excuse me. So anyways, yeah, I'm interested to see if he will get that role or not.
Have you read the book? I don't think he's... Christian Grey type.
You guys keep saying that. I think they're looking at more of the aspect of he is a nice figure, and I don't know.
I just want to say that.
But he was on a show. I don't remember the name of it, where he was a prostitute. That HBO show got Hung. He was on Hung.
I did not know that.
And I didn't watch that one either. So maybe he is fully capable of playing that role.
I'm sure he is. It's just Christian Grey. I did want to mention that he was on the Jay Leno show, and he mentioned that he drove from Toronto to LA in a smart car.
Aw, see, we like you.
Yeah, he's just so cool.
Everything else that I have to say, I think, falls under the line of predictions, so I'm just going to wait for that.
Well, then let's move on to predictions, then.
Let's do it. All right, so it's not so much a prediction.
You're after Buzz TV.
Wait, let the ghost go by.
I know. I'm sorry. I interrupted the Mr. Announcer guy. My apologies. I won't let it happen again. So something that I read is just a statement made by Mark Guggenheim, who is one of the producers, and he's saying that Laurel, definitely, we already know this, is going to turn into the Black Canary. However, he feels like the role has to be earned. Thank goodness. He says that we don't want to disservice Laurel or Oliver by saying that she could just have a bad day, put on fishnets, and start killing people. Amen.
I like, well, you're starting to see that develop. She knows how to use a gun. She reminded us in this episode, my father taught me like this.
And well, we saw it with the gun. Hello.
Mm-hmm. The gun, her moves. We saw her moves twice this season.
I would say, so other things I want to talk about too. Nightwing is supposed to be showing up real soon. So I'm assuming before the end of the season. The other thing that's supposed to happen before the end of the season is... flashbacks of Malcolm's wife's death. So we get to explore that a little bit more, which I really want to see.
I was thinking that that would have happened when Tommy was mentioning it. So it'd be nice to see that as well. I agree with you.
Yeah. So my last bit that I wanted to talk about. Oh, Oliver gets word on where Walter is when Felicity accidentally stumbles upon some information.
Didn't we hear that Walter might come back this season?
I think he will. I don't know if he will, but his persona will, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll see him.
Well, hopefully we'll see more of Walter, more Deadshot, what's going to happen on the island, because that cliffhanger was awful. Definitely good.
Yeah.
So we have 3 episodes left of Arrow. Yay! And in the meantime, where can we find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at KissMyPassport. You can look me up. I have a website, Ali Corner Bradford. /television host.
Go find her. And you can find me on Twitter at KAORIOUS. And that's also my Facebook and my Instagram and my Tumblr. And from all of us here at AfterBuzz and Alicona and I, thank you for watching. We will talk to you guys next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.